And the Bible reads, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, dear Lord, for the King James Bible. We thank you for this wonderful church you've given us, Lord, and wonderful brothers and sisters you have given us. We thank you for Brother Ulysses tonight, and we ask that you please bless him with your Holy Spirit as he preaches on to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I just want to start off by thanking Pastor Mejia for giving me the opportunity to preach. It's always a great blessing to do so. And you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look down in your Bibles at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" And the title of the sermon this evening is Babes in Christ, Babes in Christ. And here we see Paul addressing the church at Corinth, who we know had many problems. And if you read the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, we see that, you know, they were puffed up. There were divisions, they had envyings, they had strife, you know, they were questioning the resurrection, they were failing to practice church discipline, they were tolerating sin, you know, they were abusing the gifts, they were taking their brethren to court. They had all kinds of problems, and, you know, just like today, there's many churches, even churches that are Baptist churches that have problems, but the important thing is that we deal with the problems at church. So we never want to be like the church of Corinth, where we just have all these problems and they're never dealt with. And I believe that at this church, you know, when a problem arises, you know, it's dealt with, you know, right away, and we don't let it, you know, turn into a bigger problem. And you're there in verse 1. I just want to read it again. It says, "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." And so the sermon I said was babes in Christ. And this is just a reminder of a sermon that, you know, at one point or another, we're all in this stage in our Christian life. When we get saved, we don't automatically start as a grown adult, as mature in the faith. We all start as babes in Christ. And this is a process that we all have to go through. And so this sermon is not just for people that are newly saved, you know, that just got saved recently or have been saved for like less than a year. This is also a sermon for even us that have been in the Christian life longer than 5 years or 10 years. Because the truth of the matter is that, you know, even though we've matured in our faith and we learn to live, you know, the Christian life, Christian principles, there is that danger of regressing, of falling back into old habits, into the old man, you know, falling back into sins of the past. And so we need to take heed lest we fall. So this sermon is for people that, you know, recently just got saved, that they're just babes in Christ. They don't know a whole lot about the Bible. They don't know a lot about Christian principles. But it's also a sermon for us that have been around, you know, for a couple of years, that we don't fall back into this stage of the Christian life. And so we see, first of all, that as a way of introduction, I just want to explain this, that we all start off in this stage. You know, we don't get saved and then automatically know to do what's right. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that we have to learn as we go. There's a lot of things that we have to, a lot of habits that we have to develop, a lot of principles that we have to learn in order to mature in our faith. Now, go with me to John chapter, actually go to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. And so when a person gets saved, you know, the Bible says that we get saved the moment that we trust in Jesus Christ. Salvation, as a reminder, you know, we all know this, but it's not a process. If you're visiting here today, salvation is not a process. It's not something that we grow into. The Bible says that we're saved the moment that we put our faith in Jesus Christ. The question was asked once, you know, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. And so when we believe, when we trust in Jesus Christ, that's the moment that we have salvation. And that's the moment that we start off as babes in Christ. So again, salvation is not a process. It's not something that we have to grow into or anything like that. The Bible says, I'm going to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And so here we see that as newborn babes, just like when a person is born physically, you know, they're not born as a mature adult. And those of us that have children, obviously everybody starts off as a baby, you know, and then when we're children, we have to grow over the years. We have to be fed milk. We have to be taken care of. You know, these are things that our parents did for us. And in the same way, when a person is born spiritually, they start off as a baby. They don't start off as a fully grown a mature Christian. This is something that we have to purposely grow into. And it's not like, you know, no illustration is perfect. Obviously, when a baby is born, over the years, they do mature, they do grow up. But when it comes to spiritual matters, this is something that we purposely have to do in order to grow in our faith. So there is that danger of just being in church for many years and remaining as a babe in Christ. And that's something that we don't want to do. And unfortunately, there's a lot of churches out there, you know, in the old IFB, and just churches in general that, you know, the pastor, all they give their congregants is the milk of the word. And as a result, you know, the congregants don't grow, they don't mature, they don't become, you know, mature Christians that are able to discern between good and evil. And at this church, I believe that we're fed, you know, a balanced diet. We have milk for the newborn babes. We have meat for those that are mature. And there's all kinds of preaching that we hear on practical living. You know, last Sunday we heard a sermon on why things are gay, right? We heard a sermon about the chastisement of God. And these are all things that we need in order to help us in our Christian life. And so you're there in 2 Peter chapter 1. I think I told you go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me read this to you. Look down at verse number 5. It says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, that make they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And so the Bible does say that we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now, forever, and ever. Amen. And here we see that we need to grow in our faith, and we need to add to our faith. We need to go from faith to faith. And it says that we need to add to our faith virtue. Learn how to live right. Be a moral and upright person. It says that we need to add to our to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, knowing how to have self-control and be able to constrain ourselves from, you know, doing that which is wrong. And then we see this to temperance, we need to add patience. And that's something that as Christians we do need in our Christian life, just have this matter of patience, being able to endure difficulties, being able to endure hardness. That's something that we need as a Christian. And then it says to add godliness and brotherly kindness, and then to brotherly kindness, charity. And so we see the progression of the Christian life, that we shouldn't remain as a babe in Christ, even though we all start off as that. You know, we should add to our faith so that we can mature in our Christian life. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to go back to verse number 2 where it says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And like I said in the beginning, this is something that we, no matter what, right, this is all, we all start off as babes in Christ. It doesn't matter, you know, if you've been in church for X amount of years. If you just got saved recently, you're a babe in Christ. And the way that you grow is by coming to church, by hearing preaching from the Word of God, by you, you know, physically, by you purposely reading the Word of God, growing, learning how to pray, learning how to live the Christian life. This is the only way that you're going to get past this stage. And as newborn babes, you know, there's things that we have to learn that we didn't know, especially if you didn't grow up in church. You know, we didn't have that habit of just going to church. You know, that wasn't something that we were familiar with. Maybe some of you guys did grow up going to church and then you got saved later on. Maybe you got saved as a child. But a lot of us, we got saved later in life, and we had to develop those habits of just going to church, being where we need to be, learning how to pray, learning how to esteeming others, learning how to putting others before us. And I always bring this up, you know, when I first got to church, one of the first things that I noticed, you know, when pastor gives, you know, the announcements, this is something that we pay attention to, right? It's not just white noise. But I was noticing that, you know, they were mentioning, hey, we have service Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then we have midweek Bible study. And at the time, I was new. You know, church wasn't something that I was used to. And to me, three services a week, you know, that seemed like a lot, right? And that's something that as newborn babes, we have to develop an appetite. We have to develop that discipline of coming to church. You see, somebody that's still a babe in Christ, somebody that's immature, that's carnal, they don't really see the importance of going to church. You know, church to them is not a priority. Sometimes they just put it in the back burner. It's just something that they do when they have time. And that shouldn't be said of us, especially if we consider us mature Christians. We should have that discipline, that character to come to church when we have service. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so as newborn babes, this is just something that the Bible calls people that are carnal, people that are recently saved. And like I said, we all start off in this stage. There's no way around it. And as newborn babes, you know, this is something that we have to grow past. Like I said, Christians, when they're first, you know, they first get saved, they don't have those spiritual disciplines. And the first point that I wanted to make is that a newborn babe, somebody that's carnal, somebody that's just fleshly, they don't have church as a priority. And that's something that we have to get down. That's one of the most basic things. If you want to grow in your faith, you need to be in church, right? And I get it. You know, sometimes we're not able to be in church all three services, maybe because of work, maybe because you're sick, whatever the case may be. But if you have that desire to grow as a Christian in your faith, you need to be in church. And the way that you grow in anything, you know, whether it's exercising, whether it's, you know, dieting, anything that you can think of, you need to be consistent. You need to do it more often. You know, sometimes less is more, but less church is not necessarily more, right? That doesn't apply there. So if we want to grow, we want to get stronger, we want to see results, right? We need to be consistent. We need to do it more than once a week. If somebody goes to the gym and they only go once a week, you know, that's good. That's a good start, right? But it's not necessarily going to produce the results that they're looking for. A lot of times people look, and it's just like a carnal example, but they see those shorts where it says abs in 6 minutes a day, you know. No, that's not how church works, right? You're not going to grow in your Christian faith by just showing up here and there, not being consistent. In order to grow in our Christian faith, we need to be in church when we have service, right? And like I said, there's times where we're sick, you know, our head hurts, right? Or you know, our family is sick, whatever the case may be. You know, to that I say, there's things that we can do in order to bypass that, right? If you have a headache, you know, maybe it's like a little one, you could always take an Advil. There's something called Advil, 1,000 milligrams and a C4. No, I'm just kidding. I don't really advise that. But there's things that you can do that would help you to be where you need to be. Now go to, I think I told you, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And so the first thing I want to talk about is this matter of church, one of the most basic things that we need to do as a Christian. And so babes in Christ, they don't really prioritize this matter of church. You know, they make all kinds of excuses. When we first get saved, because it's not part of our life, you know, it's easy to miss church. Sometimes Sundays has been our family time where we're able to go hang out with friends. Maybe you have a barbecue. Maybe you have a party. These are all things that take us out of church or that keep us from going to church. And if you're not used to going to church, you know, you need to let your family know that, hey, Sundays are for church now, right? And, you know, at first they're going to complain. You know, they're going to give you a hard time. But it's better to, you know, let them know now so that later on they don't invite you anymore, or they just change the event altogether. But if they see that, you know, they invite you and they say, hey, Sunday we're going to have a family gathering, we're going to have a birthday party, and you're like, all right, I'll just miss church, they're going to keep doing it. They're going to see that you don't take church as serious as you say you do. But if you let them know from the beginning, hey, now I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I want to be in church, and, you know, they invite you, the more that you reject that invitation and they see that church is important to you, they're most likely to change the date of those parties, right? So there's ways around it. And another thing that a person needs to learn, another point that I want to make is that introduction, as a babe in Christ, like I said, we have to develop different appetites. First of all, we have to learn to prioritize spiritual things like church. We have to learn how to prioritize the right type of music, the right type of dress, right? When we first get saved, there are things that perhaps we listen to that are not pleasing to God. There's music that probably we listened in the past where, you know, it promoted violence, it promoted fornication, it promoted adultery, whatever the case or kind of music that you used to listen to, we need to replace that with godly music, right? And I'm going to be honest, right? When I first got saved, you know, hymns weren't that catchy to me, right? It wasn't something that I naturally gravitated towards. But here's the thing. If you stop listening to worldly music, you have to replace it with something else. It's not just you stop listening to music, because at the end of the day, you do want to listen to something, right? So you're going to have to replace it with something that's godly, something that's different. And so what I recommend, you know, you have to develop that appetite for hymns, for special music, for godly music, not CCM, because if you're going to listen to CCM, you might as well listen to the real thing, right? So go to Ephesians chapter 4. So the first point I want to make, that as a Christian, we all start off as newborn babes. You know, we all start off as just being carnal. We don't have these spiritual disciplines. We don't really know, you know, what God expects from us. But the way that we grow in our faith and mature in our faith is by just coming to church, by reading the Word of God, by learning to do right. And some of the disciplines that we need to get down in the first place is just this matter of church. Because a lot of people, even when we go out there, you know, we tell them, hey, even if they're saved, right, but they don't go to church. And they're like, well, I worship God in my house, you know, it's not that important. But the Bible actually commands us to be in church. The Bible tells us not to forsake the assembly together of ourselves, as the manner of some is. And so there is people out there that is their manner of how they live, right? They're just used to skipping church. And here's the thing, you know, the more that you skip church, the more you get out of church. And if you have children, your children see that, right? And then they learn that church is not something that's important to you as a family. And, you know, that for one, as a father, I want my children to know that church is important. They're all little right now, but I want them to grow up in church. And I don't want to be a family where, you know, we go to church 1 week and then the next week we're out of church. Or we go to church, you know, 2 weeks straight and then we go on vacation. No, we need to teach our children that church is important and that we need to be there when the doors are open. Right. Now, you're there in Ephesians chapter 4. You're there in Ephesians chapter 4. Look down at verse 14. The Bible says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And so here we see that newborn babes or people that recently get saved, you know, there is that tendency of them being tossed to and fro. And the Bible is telling us to be no more children. And that's something that, you know, when you first get saved, you don't know a whole lot. And so you open yourself up to, you know, false teachers because, you know, let's face it, there's a lot of false teaching online right now. And even back then, I remember when I first got saved, you know, back in 2010, the first person that I ever encountered online was Ray Comfort, right? And I was a new Christian. I didn't really know much about the Bible, but he seemed to be saying the right thing. But as you grow in your faith and you realize, hey, this person is preaching a false gospel, this person is a false prophet, you learn to, you know, forsake that and reject that, because you want to grow to a point where you know when a person is teaching false doctrine, right? Bad doctrine. And the way that you do that is by coming to church, by reading the Bible, because you don't want to be this child that believes every single little thing, right? You don't want to be a Christian that believes on the flat earth. You don't want to be a Christian that believes in, like, all these retarded doctrines. Amen. You want to be mature in your faith. You want to be able to distinguish between the right doctrine and be able to distinguish between whether or not a person is teaching things according to the Bible. Now, go to Hebrews. Actually, go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And so right now, I just want to explain the progression of a Christian. Basically, you know, we know that salvation is a one-time event. It's not a process. It's not something that we have to grow into. We're not being saved. You know, the Bible says that we are saved. And so what we do need to grow into is just maturing as a Christian, being more godly, maturing, being more spiritual. And the way that we do that is by just getting the basics down. And the most basic thing is just this matter of reading the Bible, coming to church, praying, being around godly people that are going to help you in your Christian walk. So I said the first thing that a Christian has to get down is this matter of church. The second thing is just this matter of just replacing old habits with new habits, one of them being music, one of them being your friends, right? If you want to succeed in the Christian life, you want to go, you want to grow past that stage of being a babe in Christ, you need to replace old friends with new friends, you know, people that actually go to church, and not just people that go to church, but people that are actually doing right. Because unfortunately, there's a lot of times where people, you know, they're in church, but they're not the most godly people. And you should learn to choose your friends even in church as well. And as we grow more, you know, there's going to be more new people. There's going to be people that have more baggage. You need to be careful with that, right? You need to be mature, and you need to be the one that influences them and not the other way around. Amen. Now, go. I think I told you to go to Hebrews chapter 5. Look down at verse number 12. The Bible says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." And then look down at verse 14. It says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And so we see the wording there that says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers." So there is an expectation for you to grow past being a babe in Christ. And it says right there, if you want to be a full age, it explains there that it says, these are they, right, that have, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so we see there it says by reason of use. So somebody that's going to be mature in the Christian life, that tells us that they're not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word as well. Go to James chapter 2. You see, if you want to get better at something, it's not just by learning about it. It's not just by reading about it. It's actually doing it, right? There's you know, people that go out there, for example, they go to college and they're trying to get like a business degree or they're trying to learn a trade, but all they're doing is just studying. All they're doing is just, you know, learning equations. All they're doing is just reading books. But a person that's actually out there doing the hands-on training, learning that way, I guarantee you that person knows way more than the person that's just reading about. So it'll be like, what if I decide to go to the gym, right? And then I'm like, I go to the gym, and then I just bring a book with me, and I'm reading how to exercise, right? But I never actually pick up the barbell. Am I actually going to see results? No, right? What if I'm on the bench, just taking up the bench, and, you know, somebody's trying to squat, and I'm just there reading a book about how to work out? That's not going to profit me at all, right? And it's the same thing with people that just come to church, and all they do is just listen to preaching, but if they're not actually putting it into practice, they're not going to get any benefit from it. And so we see here that by reason of use, we can say that that's actually a person that's being a doer of the word. And so I told you, go to James chapter 2. Go to James chapter 2. And look down at verse number 22. The Bible says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholded himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." And so this is comparing somebody that, you know, just before a glass, and they see, you know, how they look, and they don't do anything about it, right? They have boogers on their nose. They have nose hairs coming out of their nose. No, I'm guilty of that sometimes. But let's just say I went and I saw that, or pastor tells me, right? Because he always tells me. But let's just say I see it for myself, and I don't do anything for it. You know, I don't push them in. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't do anything about it. You know, that doesn't profit me nothing. And so in the same way, if we go to the Word of God and we're reading it and it's telling us what we're doing wrong, you know, we need to learn to put it into practice, because that's when the benefit actually comes. We're actually putting, you know, into practice the things that pastor preaches, the things that we read in the Word of God. That's when we actually start to see the results that we want as a Christian. Amen. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So the first point that I want to make is that a Christian that's recently saved, or anybody in general, we're going to start off in the stage what the Bible refers to as a babe in Christ. You know, there's no way to skip that. You know, it doesn't matter if you, you like I said, grew up in church, but if you got saved recently, you're a babe in Christ. And so as a babe in Christ, the Bible says that even though Paul wanted to speak to them as unto spiritual, you know, he couldn't. He had to speak unto them as unto carnal, as unto, you know, babes in Christ, because they're not able to receive the deep things of God. They need to be taught the basics. And the basics would be just like, you know, salvation by grace through faith. It would be like learning about baptism, learning about hell, learning about soul winning, just learning basic Christian living. Those are the things that babes in Christ need. And the Bible says, like I read to you in Hebrews, for you know, when the time that you ought to be teachers, that just shows us that, you know, that's the expectations. We shouldn't stay as babes in Christ. We should want and desire to grow in our Christian faith. Now, I told you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me read to you right there in verse number 4. It says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man." And so we see that a babe in Christ, not only does he need, you know, the milk of the word, he also is somebody that is carnal, is somebody that is fleshly. Why? And we see the kind of behavior that they have. And this is why I say that even though you've been in church for many years, perhaps you've been saved for many years as well, you do have that danger of regressing and becoming a babe in Christ again. And the reason for that is because, you know, you get away from the Word of God, you get away from church, you stop putting into practice the things that you read, the things that you hear, and you start acting carnal, right? And so the Bible talks about the carnal man. And yes, you know, the carnal Christian does exist. It's not something like Paul Washer where it says there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. You know, Paul said that he is carnal. You know, I'm carnal. We're all carnal to a certain extent, right? But we shouldn't be characterized as just being carnal Christians. And a carnal Christian essentially is just somebody that, you know, doesn't even try to live a spiritual life. You know, they give it into the flesh, or they always fall into sin. You know, they're not what the Bible says, where it says to walk in the Spirit that you may not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so we do have that commandment from God telling us to walk in the Spirit. So that's not something that's automatic, right? When we get saved, batteries are not included. We're not automatically just doing right all the time, waking up in the morning, wanting to read our Bible. These are some things that we have to develop the appetite for, because we have the new man now. Right, we have the Spirit of God, and it's the Spirit of God in us that desires to live a godly life. You see, the Spirit that's in us, that's what wants to read the Bible. That's what wants to go soul winning. That's what wants to invest in others. But the old man that's still in us, you know, it desires to, you know, live for the flesh. And so the Bible here is telling us that a babe in Christ is carnal at the end of the day. And so we see that a carnal man is just somebody that's causing, you know, drama, essentially, causing strife and envy. And those are the characteristics that we see. And so the Bible talks about the carnal man. It also talks about, you know, the natural man, which I forgot to mention in the beginning. But the natural man is what we were all before we getting saved, right? And there's no way around it either, because even though a person claims to know of the Bible, claims to know things from the Bible, you know, they may know certain topics, timelines, you know, like history or anything like that. But if they're not saved, the Bible says that they can't understand the Bible. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to read it for you in verse 14, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So before even getting saved, you know, this is where we all are. It's just a natural man. And so it doesn't matter if, you know, a person claims to be a pastor or claims to know a lot about the Bible. If they're wrong in the gospel, you know, they're just a natural man. Amen. They can't receive the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. The Bible says, "For they are foolishness unto him." So a lot of people that, you know, are online, and I don't really know a lot of the new people, but back in the day, it was just Ray Comfort, Paul Washer, John MacArthur, who's in hell now, and then, you know, Todd Friel, all these Calvinists, right? They can't receive the things of God, because not only are they natural men, but, you know, at the end of the day, they're false prophets. You know, they're twice dead, plucked by the roots. And so we see here that, you know, we start off as a natural man, but then once we get saved, once our spirit gets regenerated, once our spirit gets quickened, we start off as a babe in Christ. And it's up to us to grow past that stage in our Christian life. Now go to, let me see here. Give me a second. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Go to Galatians chapter 5. So even as a Christian, you know, we are capable of doing horrendous sins, right? If we live in the flesh. And so in Galatians chapter 5, we see in verse 19 where it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we see if somebody walks in the flesh, they are capable of doing some really wicked things. And so we don't want to be characterized as somebody that's just constantly in the flesh. Like I said, we want to grow past that. And it doesn't matter if you've been in church for X amount of years. If you're acting this way, according to the Bible, you're just a babe in Christ, right? You're just acting like a carnal Christian. And it shouldn't be said of us that we're the ones causing strife. We're the ones that constantly have problems with other people. You know, this is the characteristics and the attributes of somebody that isn't mature in the Christian life. And sometimes we see this within marriage, right? Where you have, you know, the husband who's not mature, and then you have the wife that's also not mature. And what happens? Constant conflict, right? And the thing is this, as spouses, you know, one of you guys has to be more mature than the others. You know, the best case scenario is that both are mature. But what happens when they're not mature? You know, one person gets offended, the other person gets mad, and, you know, they don't forgive one another, right? And this is not something that we should be characterized as. If we're mature in the faith, if somebody does us wrong, we should be able to forgive that person, especially if they ask for forgiveness. And we don't want to be carnal Christians to where we're constantly getting offended, we're constantly, you know, causing strife and having problems with the brethren. We want to be somebody that is able to get along with the people in the church. Now, as the church gets bigger, you know, we're going to have a lot of more new people. Sunday mornings, it's crowded, it's packed, right? And there's people even, you know, on Sundays that I haven't met myself. But as the church grows more and more, we're going to have different personalities. And the truth is that, you know, we're not all going to be able to get along in the sense, like, you know, go out and hang out outside of church. You know, there are people that I get along more in this church than others, and that's just how it is sometimes. But at the end of the day, you know, I don't hate anybody in this church. And it shouldn't be said of us that if you're supposedly mature in the faith, you know, you shouldn't hate your brother. And you should be able to get along with those that come to this church. You don't want to be somebody that's characterized as a carnal Christian who's just walking in the flesh, who's constantly having problems and drama with other people. And this is something that, you know, is more common within women, right? It's not so much in men. And, you know, fortunately, you know, maybe nowadays is more common. It's becoming more common with men as well. But at the end of the day, they're probably just acting like women, right? So go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So the first point that I made is that we all start off as babes in Christ. That's just the stage that we start off at, and that we should grow past that. And then we saw in Hebrews chapter 5 that it said, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. And so there is an expectation for us to grow past that stage. And one of the things that we see, the reason why he even calls them babes in Christ or carnal, is the fact that they're acting. You know, there's envy and there's strife and divisions. And we see that they're esteeming, you know, one leader above the other. And this is something that sometimes happens in church. You know, somebody likes a person more than the other, and then, you know, they kind of become like a clique, right? And I don't want that ever to happen in our church. I don't think that ever will. But we always have to, you know, be careful with that. You know, I love the fact that we're organized as a church. We have so many teams. And the teams are there for a purpose, right? It's there to train laborers. It's there to train people and teach them how to give the gospel. It's there to help, you know, us invest in a group of people so that they can mature in their faith. But what happens if we were, like, all immature and we're all carnal and we're just fleshly? You know, we're going to have beef between, you know, one team and the other team. And, you know, that would be pretty retarded to do, right? Because at the end of the day, we're all part of the same church. And so we shouldn't have this attitude and look at another team and be like, well, you know, they have a lot of salvations, but they're probably inflating the numbers, right? You know, it's kind of like when you see somebody that's bigger than you at the gym and you're like, oh, the guy's probably not natural, right? But we don't want to have that attitude towards other teams. You know, if a team is getting a lot of salvations, or if one person in one team is getting a lot of salvations, we don't want to have, like what the Bible says here, envies and strife, right? We need to learn how pastor, you know, preaching that sermon, how to deal with the success of others. And also we need to learn how to, you know, handle this, our own success. But we don't want to be babes in Christ where we can't handle other people doing more than us. At the end of the day, we're all part of the same church, right? We're all part of First Works Baptist Church. And here's the thing, you know, we're talking about Belize because we're going to go there on Sunday. Faithful Word is out there right now doing a great work, right? They already got 102 the first day, 138 the second day. And we're not hating on that, right? Because we're going to do the same thing, right? We're not there saying, well, you know, they're probably giving a short gospel or something. They're probably like a 1-3 repeat after me. No, we're happy. We're praising God. You know, all glory goes to God. And, you know, instead of being envious, we're going to go and do likewise, right? And I believe that that's what we're going to do. But like I said, there shouldn't be this attitude in our church where we think that one team is better than the other. All teams are different. We're not all created equal, right? But, you know, that's the importance of being different, right? There's different teams. And, you know, at the point I'm trying to make is that we shouldn't become like cliques, especially with the teams in our church. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And so, like I say, even though when our church gets bigger and bigger, there are going to be different personalities, and they might clash, but we shouldn't have beef, permanent beef with them. You know, we should be mature enough to, if somebody offends us, we go to them, and, you know, if they ask for forgiveness, they repent, you know, they hear us, then, you know, we've gained our brother. That's that kind of attitude that we should have. And if they apologize already, you know, that should be enough for us, right? We can't really judge a person's sincerity by how many times they apologize. If they already apologize once, you know, just accept the apology and move on. Because the thing about this, you know, when somebody's just a babe in Christ and they're immature in their faith, you know, a person could do them wrong and apologize, but they're still harboring bitterness towards that person, right? And at the end of the day, what that does is not affecting the other person that did you wrong. It's just going to affect you. Now, if you're there in, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look down at verse number 4. It says again, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" And so here we see that the first truth that I want to cover is this matter where it says, by whom ye believe. And so as newborn babes, we need to learn this truth that there is an importance of going out there and reaching people with the gospel. You know, people don't get saved by themselves, right? People don't get saved by just reading the Bible, by a tract, especially not by a chick tract. I don't even know those are around. But, you know, people don't get saved by just reading the Word of God. They need a preacher to come to them and give them the truth, preach to them the gospel so that they could call upon the name of the Lord. And so as a newborn babe, you know, one of the best ways that one of the best ways to grow in your faith is just learning to esteem others. And the way that you learn that is by actually going out there and doing the work, by going out there and reaching the lost, right? If you're just selfish, if you're just, you know, a babe in Christ, like this is what I think about, like with our children, right? Because they're small, those of you that have small children, you know, they're very selfish sometimes, right? And they think the world just revolves around them. And sometimes they just fight. Sometimes they don't get along, right? They're very needy, right? But they're children, and that's expected of them. But how weird does it look, right? If it's somebody that's a grown man, by the way, acting that way, right? Acting immature and just being self-centered, right? There comes a point where you should learn to invest in others and not having other people constantly invest in you, constantly, you know, checking up on you. Hey, are you coming to church? You know, we should just be able to be a person that's low maintenance. And if somebody has to text you, you know, hey, are you going to come to church tonight? That's kind of an insult, right? Because they're kind of implying that you miss a lot. And so you don't want to be that type of person. So one of the best ways that you're able to grow past this stage is by learning to invest in others, which is by soul winning. And here we see that the Bible says, by whom he believed. And so that truth that I see there is that, you know, people need a soul winner, all right? People need somebody to preach them the gospel. You think of the example of the eunuch and Philip. You know, it wasn't that the eunuch just got saved by reading the Bible. The Bible says that, you know, Philip approached him, and he asked him, you know, understands without readest. And he said, how can I accept some man guide me? And so people are out there seeking for the truth, and we are responsible to give them that truth, right? The Bible says that God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So it's our job to reach the people that are out there. And we don't want to have this attitude either, you know, with technology that we have today. You know, I love the technology that we have today and us being able to reach people online. But the truth is, not everybody's online, you know. There's a lot of people that are not on OMI TV, believe it or not. And they require somebody to go to their door, right, to give them the gospel. And this is why, you know, when we go out there to preach the gospel, we do pray, you know, God lead us to those that want to hear it, right? This is not something that we just, you know, vainly repeat. This is something that we believe, right, that God's going to lead us to those that actually want to hear the truth. And then how many times has it happened when we're out there, we give them the gospel, they get saved, and then later on after the at the end of the conversation, they're just so thankful, right? Because they're saying like, hey, I was just thinking about this last night. I was scared. You know, I was just looking up online. You know, what do I have to do to go to heaven? These are people that were waiting for the truth, and, you know, God sent us to them. And so that's the importance that I see here, that people require a minister. Now go to Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10. And so we don't want to minimize the effect that a soul winner has. And so as newborn babes, we have to prioritize not only church, not only reading the Word of God, but actually prioritize this matter of soul winning. And this is something that, you know, might not come natural to some of us. And I don't think, you know, unless you're a salesman, you're not used to going door to door, right? This is not something that, like, at the beginning we look forward to. It's just awkward, right? We're going to strangers' homes. We're, like, you know, opening up their gate, walking up to the door and just asking them, hey, do you know for sure if you die today, would you go to heaven? And then we tell them that, you know, they're on their way to hell. We tell them how to get saved. You know, these are things that we have to learn and prioritize in our lives. And if you're there in Romans chapter 10, look down at verse number 13 where it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And so we see here that a person does require a soul winner to give them the gospel. It's not this thing where a person could just read the Word of God, understand it, and then get saved. Why? Because that person is a natural man. He can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. And so it is up to us to go out there and give them the gospel. And again, along the subject about like OMI, you know, I love OMI. It's a great way to reach a lot of people. It's a great way to reach our goal of 4,000 salvations, right? Which I'm pretty sure we're going to reach by the end of this month. But here's the thing. We still have to go out there and knock the doors, right, of the people that are not online. And we could get, you know, carnal. We could get in the flesh sometimes and be like, well, you know, it takes too much time to get out there, or I don't really want to make the drive to TJ, or I don't really want to go to, you know, all the cities that we go to. But we have to have it in our mind, you know, these people that we're reaching out there, they're not online, and someone has to give them the gospel. And also, we can't have this attitude as, you know, that people who are immature in the faith will, what I would say, that it's like a bystander attitude, or like somebody else will reach them, right? There's already a church in Woldemar. There's already a church in Lake Elsinore. There's already a church in so-and-so city. We still have to go out there and preach to those people the gospel, because we don't know at the end of the day if that church is actually going out there. And if they are, we don't know for sure, right, that they're preaching the right gospel. So we should just take it as our responsibility to reach everybody in our community. Amen. And this is why we go to TJ. You know, it takes 2 hours to get to TJ. And a lot of times it's 3 or 4 or 6 of us. You know, sometimes it's a smaller group, but it's worth it every single time, right? Because we see people that 15, 20 people save, and these are people that I can guarantee you are not on OMI, right? And I, like I said, I love OMI. I'm not bashing OMI. We're going to keep doing OMI. But don't have it in your mind that it's not important as well to go out there and knock the doors of the people. This is the same reason why we're going to Belize. And I think this is like the 5th or 6th time that we're going, you know, to reach people, again, that are not online, right? And we've made a great impact all the years that we've gone. I'm looking forward to going again. I'm specifically thinking of like a guy named Ephraim that I met in 2022. And it was cool because at the time he was like 12. He was like shorter than me, right, at the time. And, you know, I got him saved. And then we went back the next year. I met up with him. Now he's like this tall now. You know, he grew up. I didn't grow up at all. But, you know, we met up again. We had a service. He came to the service. He got baptized. And this time we're going again, and we're going to meet up with him again. And, you know, I rejoice in things like that because we're able to see, you know, the fruit of our labor. And we know that all the things that we do for God are not in vain. Now go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So the first point that I made is that as newborn babes, you know, the things that we have to do is prioritize the basics. Going to church, reading the Word of God, learning to pray, learning to invest in others, and not being so carnal. Not being somebody that's just causing drama, envying, or strife. And you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look down at verse number 5. The Bible says again, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. And look down at verse number 6. It says, I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. And so we, again, we see the importance of our labor. You know, there are some that plant, You know, we could say that this is the person that preaches the gospel, and there are some that water it, right? Maybe somebody else got you saved, but there's another person that invested in you and helped you grow in your Christian life. Or we could see it as, you know, a person that goes out there, the soul winners, right, that are planting and watering. And when we go out two and two, you know, both people are important. You know, the talker as much as the silent partner. And I'll tell you why, because the silent partner is not just there to, you know, be quiet and just, you know, for moral support, right? The silent partner is there to pray that that person gets saved. The silent partner is there to minimize distractions, right? And it's kind of like a pet peeve of mine when you have a silent partner, that person's not here right now, but, you know, maybe you've gone out with somebody that has done this. When the silent partner is just disinterested, right? You're giving the gospel, and instead of just backing you up and praying for the person or just keeping an eye out for any, like, danger or just helping you minimize distractions, what are they doing? They're just, like, looking around, you know, walking around, sitting on the stairs. You know, oh, well, this is one of the things that this person would do. Again, they're not here no more. But they would just sit on the stairs, right, and just, like, look into the distance and just being, like, distracted. And that's just, like, one of the pet peeves of mine where, like, you're giving the gospel, you're there to get somebody saved, and this person's not even paying attention, right? And we don't want to be that kind of silent partner. We want to be there, want to be interested, be focused, right, and praying for the people so that they can get saved. Another thing that you don't want to do is just practical tips, right? You don't want to just, like, lean on somebody's, like, property or chair and just be just slouching right there. Just, I don't know, taking over space, right? You're there for a purpose. And whether you're the talker, whether you're the signing partner, both of those people are there for a purpose. And so when we're there, you know, we need to go with that mindset of, you know, we're going to see somebody saved today. And sometimes we could be carnal, we could be fleshly, where we go to an area and it might be a little bit too nice and we say, well, no one's going to get saved here. You just never know, right? Sometimes it's the areas that look the most unreceptive where we see a lot of people saved. And so again, the point I want to make here is that as a newborn babe of Christ, one of the ways that you can grow in your faith is by investing in others. And the way that you do that is by going out there and actually doing the work. And just going back to that point where I was making that the way that you learn, the way that you grow is by actually being a doer of the word. That's something that we have to purposely do. And it's not something that, you know, we do it one day and then the next day we're not doing. We have to constantly do it day by day. Now go back to, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So I'm looking forward to going to Belize, all that to say, all right, that we're looking forward to going back to Belize. And whether or not, you know, Faithful Word leaves some salvations for us, right? Because it seems like they're getting everybody saved. But we're going to another city, so we don't have to worry about that. But the thing is this, that the point I want to make with that is that, you know, Faithful Word is an awesome church, right? And they're doing a great work, and we rejoice with them, with everybody that they get saved. But we're also going to do a great work. And we shouldn't have this attitude where, like, one church is better than the other. If we're both getting people saved, you know, we're both doing it for the Lord at the end of the day. That's what the Bible says, who then is Paul, who then is Apollos, right? Because at the end of the day, we don't really matter in the sense that, you know, whether we go or not, you know, God is going to give the increase. If we don't go, somebody else in our church will go, right? But at the same time, we don't want to have this mentality where, like, okay, well, you know, if somebody else is going to go, then I don't have to go, right? You want to have the mentality as that attitude as if, I don't think anybody else is going to go. I have to be the one that's going, all right? Now, if you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look down at verse number 7. It says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And in verse number 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And so here we see that we are going to receive our own reward according to our own labor. So we can't have this attitude either if we're maturing in our faith that, you know, our church does a lot of soul winning, therefore I'm going to get rewarded for it. It doesn't work that way, right? You need to go out there and do the work yourself in order to receive those rewards. You know, you're not going to receive rewards just vicariously. You have to actually be the one to go out there and get the job done. And so the sermon this evening, let me see if I cover everything, is that, number one, we all start off as babes in Christ. That's the first point that I want to make. If you just got saved recently, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a babe in Christ, right? But you don't have to stay that way. You have to mature in your faith. And here's the other thing. Us, that we've been in church for a couple of years now, we have to, you know, keep an eye out that we don't regress back into being a babe in Christ. Because these kind of things, what we call backsliding, doesn't happen overnight. And, you know, we've been around for like 9 years now, and there's a lot of people that are no longer here, right? And it's not because it happened overnight or anything like that. It's just things that happen little by little. And so we need to be careful in our life to pay attention to see little things creeping up in our life, like I said, little by little, and realize that, hey, I'm going down a bad path. I need to repent. I need to get right with God and, you know, keep growing in my faith. And we don't want to be people that regress, right? Everybody hates it when, well, I hate it too, when you're gaining and losing the same 5 pounds, right? You don't want to be that type of person where, like, you're constantly in the same stage. You take 2 steps forward and then you take 2 steps back and you're always in the same spot, right? That might suck, right, as in a physical sense, but it also sucks as a Christian, right? And you don't want to look years from now and realize that you haven't done anything with your life. And the third point that I want to make, lastly, is this, that if we're mature in our faith, we need to be patient with others. We need to realize that, hey, a person is carnal, you know, they're fleshy, they're worldly, but we can help them, right, mature in their faith. We can't look at everybody and expect them to act like, you know, one of us, right? They're not going to have it all together in the beginning. We certainly didn't have it all together. You know, we have to teach them to dress right, to act right. You know, men, help the men out there, right? Hey, you're in charge. You're the husband, right? You get to tell your wife what to do. These are things that we need to teach the men in our church. We need to teach the young men, you know, hey, you need to be a hard worker. You know, be 10 times better than the other employees that are there at that job. These are things that don't come naturally that we need to invest in others. So the last point that I want to make is this, that we need to be patient with the new people that are coming to our church. And they may not look like us. Some of them may have long hair. Some of them, you know, may be doing things that we probably wouldn't do now, right? But at one point or another, we were doing things that the people that were mature in their faith were looking at us and were like, man, look at this guy, right? So we need to be patient. We need to realize that everybody starts off as a babe in Christ, but we need to put in the work and invest in others so that they can mature in their faith. And that's the sermon tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the service that we had, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to preach. And I pray, Lord, that you be with us, that you would help us to mature in our faith, that we wouldn't revert back to old habits, to sinful habits, or to be undisciplined again. Help us to always remember the things that we learn in church and not only be a hearer of the word, but also a doer. Help us to invest in others. Help us to do a great work for you. And please bless our efforts and beliefs that we will see a lot of people saved. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Psalm number 310, Footprints of Jesus.